I don't think I was alone when all the pandemic stuff first started, and especially when a lot of people were in lockdown, of having wasted a bit of that gift of time that we've been given. That for the first time, I had a bit of time, and, you know, what better way to waste it than sitting there just watching TV. And I was watching this show called Hoarders. And I'm sitting there, and it's these people who, more and more things that they get, to the point where this one guy wasn't even sleeping in his own bed. He was sleeping on this pile of stuff that he had hoarded. And I'm sitting there watching, this is so stupid. I'm like, that's so stupid, as I flip to one of the other 190 channels, right? And then a couple months later, I'm getting ready to move here, getting ready to pack, and I'm looking at all my stuff, thinking, I'm so stupid. And I'm such a product of our society. I'm such a product of our culture. That living in this incredible culture of excess, it's not necessarily hoarding, but this culture of excess, hoarding for all of us anyway, some of you might be hoarders, but this being driven by a fear that there's not going to be enough. And so we have to make sure that we sort of gather it on our own. It's this incredible paradox, though, because we live in this incredible time of excess in which we've never lived in such a rich society in the history of mankind. But at the same time, we've never been as unhappy as any other time. Immense excess, but yet immense unhappiness. After my freshman year in college, I went on a mission trip to Guatemala, the God's Child Project. Some of you have heard of it. And during the time there, the incredible grace that I was struck with is we were there and we went to build houses for the people. And there was something that the children who were helping us, they would carry over bricks for us. There was something they had that I didn't. They were just beaming with this incredible joy. And I suppose you could think, well, ignorance is bliss, right? If they would have only had all these little electronic things that I had back home, and a television, and all this stuff, they'd be so much happier. No. It wasn't me who had something that they didn't have. They had this incredible joy that was radiating from them. And I was captivated by it. I had the opportunity in college to study in Europe for a semester, and I went to a Franciscan university, and we went to Assisi, which is the home of St. Francis of Assisi. There's a book written about Francis that's called The Man Who Found Perfect Happiness. St. Francis, you know his story perhaps a little bit. He'd inherited a lot from his family, but then he gave it all away. He gave it all away and he lived in poverty. And he found an immense joy there. Now there's something else I found stupid. Maybe it's the theme here. Is people who look at Francis, St. Francis, and they say, look at this man. You just give everything away and live off the land and you'll be happy. Or they'll take St. Francis and they'll turn it into him just doing like this minimalism thing. Just live off the basic things that you need. Those aren't bad things. But here's the important secret that St. Francis discovered. It's not because he had nothing that he was filled with joy. That was a means to an end, a really important means. But it's because he had found everything that he was filled with immense joy. Having let go of everything else, he was able to receive enough in God's love. He had found Jesus. He had encountered him. St. Paul writes of the secret that he had learned as well. He said that, "I have learned the secret of how to live in every circumstance of life, how to live in abundance, and how to live in need." That it doesn't matter if you have immense riches or if you don't even have enough for your basic needs, because his secret that he writes powerfully about is, "My God will fully supply whatever you need." That God will provide. The secret of Francis, the secret of Paul, is they had learned to receive everything and depend entirely upon God. That God would supply everything that they needed. And that they didn't have to live in fear of being in want. And this is the incredible thing, because what Paul invites us to do here is to live with this radical trust. It's the difference between Adam and Eve, who in the garden, the serpent, what he was trying to do was plant the seed of distrust in their heart. Here they had been given paradise. But the serpent comes and says, "Did God really tell you not to eat from that tree? God's holding out on you." And so they go over and they grasp for what they think will bring even greater happiness. It's the difference between Adam and Eve grasping at what they think will bring happiness compared to Mary, who in the Annunciation, filled with uncertainty, completely trusted in God. And instead of grasping, she simply received. She trusted and she received Christ. This is the difference between sin, in which all sin, everyone, is our heart grasping at something that we think is going to bring happiness, grasping at something that we think we won't have enough of. "I'm not going to have enough money for my family to be secure, so I got to grasp at it. I'm not going to have enough time. That's my biggest thing. And so I have to hold tight to my time because God might not provide enough of it. I'm not going to have enough energy, so I have to hoard as much of it as I can to not overexert myself because God might stop providing." And so we grasp at these things. But the irony is, the thing that we desire the most are not the things that we could grasp at all. Because you can grasp at these things, but what we need the most and desire the most, happiness, love, you can't grasp those. You can try, but it'll be like grasping in the sand, it'll go through your fingers. Happiness is only something you can receive. Love, you can't take love from another person. You can't grasp it from them. You can only receive it. And these gifts are ones that we can only receive from the hand of a God who desires us to have much more than we could ever grasp on our own. God will supply. He will provide a feast of rich foods and choice wines, and it goes on and on. And the gospel, they're invited to this incredible feast. That God, what he desires out of this, is this radical trust in him that he will provide each and every day, and that he will more than provide for us. I love the scene in the Old Testament, the Israelites who had been brought into the desert by Moses. No food in the desert. And God himself says, "I will provide for you each day." And so he provided manna, this bread, every morning with the morning dew. The floor would be covered of the desert with this manna bread. It was a prefigurement of the Eucharist. But he told the people, because what's the temptation if you see that, right? He says, "Every morning I'll provide this." It's, well, you got to go stockpile it up, right? Gather all of it up to make sure we have enough for at least a week. if God might forget one of the days to provide, right? Instead, he told them, only gather as much as you need for today and trust that I will bring it again tomorrow, and I will bring it again tomorrow. Doing that for 40 years as the Israelites did, having to trust in that radical way, what do you think that does to the human heart? What do you think that creates in the human heart? This is what God was trying to do. This incredible trust that he is enough and that he will provide, and he will provide for you as well and your family. But you can't be grasping. This is one where you have to receive. So this week, where is it where there's that fear that there's not going to be enough? I don't know what it is in all of your lives. But where's the sense that you have to sort of grasp and hoard it on your own, otherwise it might run out? That is the thing to let go of and give to God. And when you let go of it, then your hands are free to receive from him. He is enough, and he will provide if you trust him in his deep, deep goodness.